Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the VRO. It is, oh my gosh, I don't even know what day it is. It is Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is April something early in the month. I don't remember what day. I think it's the 11th. It's the 11th. And we have a very special guest today. This is your host, Jeff. And I have the ever-present Amy McCracken on the switchboard today. She's got herself a little muted so she can run the switchboard. But we're really excited that we were able to have a special guest today. We're not going to keep her long because I know she's had a grueling day of filming today. But our special guest currently plays, the character of Nell Jones on CBS's hit TV show NCIS Los Angeles. We are very pleased to welcome Renee Felice Smith to our show. Hi, Renee.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going. For those of you who were a little confused about the time shift, Renee actually she was in the middle of filming, so we had to push the time back a little bit later, which we're happy to do, but we're glad that you could join us today.
Yeah, thanks for accommodating my insane schedule. Actually, you know, filming ran over, and I'm coming to you from the Trader Joe's parking lot because I actually just got in from New York. I didn't even know you guys were in New York. I just got in from New York, and I realized my fridge is empty, so I, like, ran out, and then I was like, oh, my God, I have this thing at 7:30. Screw it, I'll just go to the parking lot. So it's extremely glamorous. But yeah.
Yeah, actually, it's funny that you mentioned New York because I was reading your bio and all the information that they send over, and it says that you live in Brooklyn, and it's so funny because I was just in Brooklyn this weekend. My dad, I grew up in Brooklyn, so I'm kind of a little Brooklyn girl myself, but it's just really
cool.
Funny that I was just there, and I'm like, oh, I should have seen if she was around. We could have done a video or something.
Well, that would have been great. Yeah, no, we'll have to catch up in Brooklyn sometime. Where did you grow up in Brooklyn?
In Park Slope.
Oh, my God, that's where I am. That's where I am.
We were eating dinner, I guess it was, we did Easter on Saturday instead of Sunday, so I went in, I live in Massachusetts right now, but I went down to see my dad, and we ate at my old neighborhood in Park Slope, right on 7th Street and 7th Avenue is where I used to live, and they moved the Purity there, so I was like, okay, we used to go there all the time, so let's go do it since we haven't been back in so long, so.
Oh, I love that. Good family.
Yeah.
Nice memories. That's great. Yeah, we were just at 12th Street, 12th and 8th Avenue. We were having our Sunday Easter dinner.
Nice.
Good
really walked away.
Yeah, I know. Totally could have met up.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm so sorry. We're having our little conversation. Everybody is like, okay.
They're like, come on, get on with it. Enough of the coffee club.
Yeah. So your character wasn't originally a main character on NCIS Los Angeles. How awesome is it that they actually made it a main character?
Yeah, that is true. Nell Jones was just supposed to be a 6-episode arc, guest episode in the second season. I joined the third episode, and it was supposed to be 6 episodes after that. And they really liked kind of the partnership between Barrett Foe's character, Eric Beale, and myself, and they thought, hey, you know what, this could be a nice little addition to the show, kind of round out the cast, and now we have 3 duos, as we like to call them, and Hetty obviously interacts with all of us. But, yeah, I think it was a nice, I think the character was a good addition to the show. Even watching the show before being on it, you know, it's kind of a boys' club. So I think having a little more female energy on the show is kind of nice for viewers to get a different perspective, on the events and what's happening.
Right. Yeah, it definitely balances it out. It gives it a little bit more of balance. It's not really just a man's world anymore. And we've seen that with NCIS, the original NCIS, with the character of Abby and the character of David. And it's good to see the Kenzie character in NCIS Los Angeles, even Hetty being the head of the special ops unit, and then having Nell join the club. Now, your character, can you tell us, these are some questions that are sent in by fans, by the way. We're a fan of the show. So there is one question here where this woman asks, if you could describe the evolution of your character. I know that's a deep question, but in your opinion, how has your character evolved with the involvement with NCIS Los Angeles? And where would you like her to go?
Okay, cool. I think she used to be, I think Nell started out a little deer in the headlights-ish, and her mouth would kind of run, and she'd stick her foot in her mouth repeatedly. And now I think she's kind of matured. She's still kind of in the swing of things with the office. She kind of gets how it all runs. She, you know, in any sort of situation, you kind of need a little time to absorb your surroundings and kind of say, okay, this person's in charge here. I can't really overset my boundaries here. So I think Nell was really excited. She's fresh out of college. She's supposed to be at the top of her class, you know, upon graduation. And CIS kind of stopped her up. We learned later that she was recruited by several think tanks. And actually, that was one of my missions, my little independent undercover mission this season, to go back to that think tank. But, yeah, so I think Nell is, you know, she's super smart, genius status. Here we're talking. So when she started out, she had a lot to say. You know, she had a lot to give and a lot to share, and I'm sure that's why she got the job. I think Hetty sees some of herself in Nell. That's how it was always described to me, too, that Nell was kind of this little Hetty. And I think now she's moving in that direction even more so. You know, she's more savvy in the workplace. She kind of knows when she can speak up and say her piece, when it's appropriate to back off. She kind of saves it now, rather than at the beginning when she was just kind of, you know, running her mouth and interrupting people, and she just wanted to be a part of the team, you know. But now she's definitely she's kind of honed those skills, and she's communicating in a more effective way for sure. But she still has that spice. I mean, that's Nell. You, we're not going to lose that. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So there we go. Hopefully that satisfies that question.
Now, and where would you like to, like, if you could choose, where would you like to see her? How would you like to see her grow in the series? Is there a specific fantasy to have her do, or a mission?
I actually pitched a couple ideas to the writers this year, and it was just a little too late in the game because the season was kind of already planned out, but I'm hoping some of these storylines will happen next season. You know, I'd really like to see Nell. Obviously, Nell is trained. We see her carrying a gun during the Kenzie two-part episode.
Right.
So, and we also saw her carrying a gun early on, one of my very first episodes as a guest star, when I was out with the boys, with Talon and Sam. So we know she's trained, but she's never been in a situation where she actually has to use a gun on someone in defense or defense of her, you know, fellow workers, fellow agents. So I'd like to see that for now, for her to be put in a situation where she kind of has to step up to the plate and whether she has to defend herself or, you know, any innocent civilian. I think it would be great to see her, you know, have to deal with really, really real circumstances. And also, I'd love to see her go undercover as sort of like a 21 Jump Street-ish agent. Because many people have said this to me over time, you know, like, now she just looks so young. She looks like a baby, you know, like, who's that teenager running around in the off center, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I think Nell does look, she's definitely the...
Hello? Oh, no, I think we might have lost her.
We did. We just lost her call.
Oh, no, and I had a great question lined up for her.
So we'll wait until she calls back in.
Yes, yes. So did you have any questions, Amy, since I'm taking over this interview?
Oh, no. I am sitting over here running the behind-the-scenes stuff. But yes, I need a new mic. I'm just putting that out there. I need a new headset.
I hope she realizes that.
She will.
I'm sure she does. I'm sure she does. But so excited to have her on, though, too. I have to say, now that she's not on the call, I didn't originally like the first season of NCIS Los Angeles, but I sat and I started going through the episodes again because I got over the initial shock that, you know, it's not the original and all this other stuff. And I really think that it has gone above and beyond to separate itself from the original, and it's a totally different show. It's just as interesting and dynamic with the different cast. And I'll probably mention this to her too, but she mentioned that the character of Nell looks so young, but I really feel that NCIS Los Angeles just has a younger feel to it. Like, all of the cast members look younger.
Yeah.
Feel more hipper. They have, it's different vibe than the original.
It's funny how you say you couldn't get into the Los Angeles one. I can't get into the original one.
Well,
I can't do it.
NCIS Los Angeles now, but originally I'm more of a purist. Like, I don't usually like the other CSIs, or I don't like, you know, I kind of like to stay with the original. But there are one or two shows that I can watch that are spin-offs, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I could do this. And it took me a while to get into the NCIS Los Angeles, but I do feel that the addition of the other characters, because originally I think it was just Chris O'Donnell and LL Cool J and I forget the woman's name. I think her name is Lucille, who plays Hetty. And I just couldn't get into it. I was like, okay, we need to make this a little bit more interesting and dynamic with the cast. And those two were good, but it was kind of like the boys' club, like she was saying.
Yes.
And I really liked the addition of the kind of he's kind of like DeNozzo, but not really. He's like a mix between DeNozzo and McGee from NCIS, the original. So he's kind of like goofy but cool at the same time. I forget his name, the other character. And then the character Kenzie being one of the only girls, and then adding the character of Nell to counterpart with the character of Eric. I wanted to, my next question was going to be about her and Eric. So I was really hoping that I could ask that. I hope she calls back in.
I'm going to actually see if I can call her from the switchboard.
Okay.
Give me 1 minute. Place in screening room. Wait. 5, 5.
She probably has a really bad connection, because she did mention she was living in a parking lot.
Yeah, so hold on 1 minute.
Oh, here she is. Renee?
Okay, I think her phone died.
Oh. Okay,
I got voicemail. But we'll sit here for a little bit and see what...
It says she's on the switchboard.
No, that was me calling.
Oh.
That's why it was in a screen room.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, it went to voicemail, so her phone probably died. She probably just got there. I know she's been filming a lot. So, we'll have to do is we'll have to reschedule it, I guess, for some time.
We can hang out for a little bit, talk about what's coming up, and what's we're going to be doing and stuff like that for our summer season, because our fall shows are getting ready to have their season finales and their series finales. We just had our Lost Girl and our Being Human finales on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And next Tuesday, we're going to be, Megan Rath is going to be joining us from Being Human at 9 p.m. And she assisted to have a open interview. So you know what that means, right?
I do. Lots of questions from the fans and calls.
Yes, lots of call-in questions. So
love
you guys
that.
Can call in and talk to Megan directly, which is, I love those shows, because all we have to do is run the switchboard.
Sure, that's, and watch out for prankers. But congratulations on getting the Holy Trinity of Monsters from from Being Human. And as an FYI, I know that the season finale of the season one of Lost Girl just aired this past Monday. However, next Monday starts the season premiere of season two of
yes.
Lost Girl. So
yes.
They're running them back to back, which means that we should be right on track, because they just started filming season three in Canada. So we should only hopefully be a week or two delayed on season three when they air it in Canada. It should only be a hopefully a week or two difference between the two. So it might help
hey,
to get more listeners. Yep.
Renee's back.
Renee?
Hi, I'm so sorry, Jess.
It's okay. I'm so sorry that it happened.
No, it wasn't your fault. My phone actually died, and I was rambling on and on with my answer, and finally I looked down at my phone, and it was completely dark. And I got nervous. My phone, I plugged it in. This is all coming from the Trader Joe's parking lot. I opened this bag of pita chips because I was nervous. I'm waiting for it to boot up. Oh, God. Renee's a wreck. See, this never would have happened to Nell, okay? Nell would have, like, please, her phone would have been fully charged, not Renee.
Nice. Well, I was actually going to comment on your question. I know I didn't hear the rest of it, but you were mentioning the 21 Jump Street and the fact that that Nell, it seems so young, and then everybody makes that comment. I was talking to Amy when we were when you were off air that.
Right.
Funny that you say that, because I was telling her, like, I was originally a big watcher of the original NCIS, and I felt that NCIS Los Angeles as a whole has a younger feel to it. Not necessarily that the actors are younger, they just seem younger.
True.
They have
True.
A fresher, different approach to doing things, and it just seems like a younger, hipper version of the original. So it that does fall right in line, and I can absolutely see Nell playing a 21 Jump Street type character where she would go undercover in, like, a high school or even as, like, freshman in college, something like that.
Exactly. And, you know, even a cadet, maybe a cadet in the barracks in the Navy, you know, a young cadet who just enlisted or something like that. I think it's definitely a viable, you know, role for her to take in the whole scheme of things. We'll see.
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned that that the character of Nell is you know, such a genius, because she really is. She's a very smart girl. She knows her crap, and
mm-hmm.
It's just so funny that it's so opposite with her in relationships. Like, there's obviously a connection between her and Eric, and she's so well informed in regards to her position and her job. But
right.
she seems so out of sorts when it comes to dealing
mm-hmm.
with interpersonal relationships in a romantic
That's
sense.
Right.
They really
That's
haven't
right.
done too much to go, you know, to give us those cliffhangers. But they have gone there a little bit. You know, there's definitely
That's
some
right.
things to do.
And especially in last night's episode, we kind of got to see Nell grapple with thoughts of these maybe potential feelings that she might have for Eric's
right.
character.
Especially when he called her on it.
Totally. Nate came back and he called her out on it. And at first it looked like Nell was kind of throwing herself at Nate. And we're like, come on, this isn't the real Nell. What's going on here? That's not how Nell operates. We've never seen this from her before, you know? But I think you're right about that balance. You know, super intellectual types, oftentimes there's a disconnect when it comes to social, you know, interpersonal relationships. So I think that Nell has a bit of that. You know, she's a brainiac, yeah, and she's totally book smart. But when it comes to, like, the potential idea of, like, going on a date with a boy, it's a little bit overload for her, you know?
Yeah.
And having to, especially, you know, she's a smart girl. She's professional. So, you know, to even think about getting involved with someone at work, you know, that's a whole other can of worms. That she probably doesn't want to open. But we definitely get to see her grapple with the idea of, oh, wow, do I have feelings for him? Oh, my God. No, he's like my brother. You know, this whole thing just back and forth. And that was a lot of fun to play. And I was happy Jordana, one of our new writers, that was her first episode, actually, fully written by herself. And I just thanked her. I read the script and I just emailed her. I just thank you, you know, because a lot of times we have a lot of the technical jargon and we have to kind of carry the exposition of the episodes, but that was really a gift because I got to act like a human being and like a messy human being who doesn't really know the right thing to say, you know, and that's always more interesting than playing someone who has all the answers to everything all the time.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like playing good characters, or would you rather just get a really nasty character one time?
That's funny. Well, I played this really punk teenager in a film that was just released called Detachment. It's with Adrian Brody and a whole list of, you know.
About that.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Detachment, and I'm really excited about that, too, because I realized that I just saw an interview on, I think it was even Letterman or something like that, with Adrian Brody, who is one of my favorite actors. And it was before I knew that you were coming on the show. And then when I was doing the research, I'm like, oh, my gosh, she's in this movie, and I totally want to see it. So
here we go. So. Totally. Yeah. It was a really small release in, like, major cities, in mostly art houses. But it's also available on demand. I know my family watched it, actually, in their living room on demand. So my scene is with Lucy Liu. She plays a character, she plays a counselor, like a school counselor. And my character, her name's Missy, and she's really just like a punk, foul-mouthed girl. She's a teenager. She's a high school senior. And she's about to graduate, and Lucy Liu's character is basically asking my character about my plans for the future, and I'm just kind of blowing her off, giving her these really, like, nasty, vague remarks, and she just laces into me. It's basically Lucy Liu's breakdown in the whole film. She she has all this pent-up anger and frustration with basically the children, these teenagers in school, how they're just really not applying themselves and not working up to their full potential, and whether it is that they have no support at home or, you know, that the teachers have failed them in some way. Whatever it is, she's extremely frustrated, and she takes it out on this one student. So basically, I get the brunt of it all. And it was great. It was my first experience on a film set. Tony Kaye was the director, who also directed American History X, and he is just, I mean, there is not, he's an individual in every sense of the word. There is not one person on this earth who is, you know, comparable to Tony Kaye. And he actually ended up DPing. He was the director of photography on the show. He was holding the camera. It was kind of a one-man show, you know, he was directing, and he'd whisper something in Lucy Liu's ear, and then the next take, she'd be, like, trashing the office, throwing a coffee cup. I had to duck so I didn't get the coffee cup, and, like, whatever was in the mug, like, all in my, you know, basically drilled into the side of my head. So it was exciting, to say the least, for sure.
Not boring in the least. But it's so funny that was your first, you know, large-scale movie experience, and it's such a powerhouse of talent in that movie. I mean, there's Adrian Brody, there's Lucy Liu.
Christina Hendricks.
Yeah,
Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, I mean.
James Caan. It was crazy. it's crazy. And just watching the film, it's more slice of life. So we really, the character we mainly attach to is Adrian Brody.
Right.
We attach to his character. He plays a substitute teacher who is kind of like disconnected from his surrounding world. You know, he doesn't really stay in one place for very long by choice. So to be a substitute teacher by choice, that's telling you something about the person's character, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The film itself is done in such a way that you really get to see kind of like a day in the life of all these different people who share the same environment. So they're all teachers and or students who revolve around this one high school. And it talks a lot about the it kind of touches on our education system, the downfall, public education, kind of commenting on if the money and the investment isn't put into the schools, you know, basically the children are going to crumble along with it.
Right.
Their lives and futures kind of, you know, depend on the structure and what the school provides for them. So it's an interesting film. It's kind of, you know, it reflects on the generation I think it's a very powerful. It makes a very powerful statement.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it, and I'm kind of upset that it didn't get released all over. But I will look for it on demand, and certainly as soon as it, maybe they'll have it in like the red boxes really soon, so I can just like pick it up and watch it real quick.
I know it's on demand. I know a couple of people who've watched it that way, so check it out.
Check it out
that way.
Mm-hmm. All right. The other thing I want to ask you about is you also have, you're currently developing a children's book series, correct?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Based on my, The Life and Times of Hugo, my French bulldog. It's a children's book series geared for children, like 3 to 7. Basically follows a day in the life of Hugo. He learns a new activity, and like the real-life Hugo, he's kind of resistant and has a bit of an attitude at first. But he comes around to it, comes around to the idea. In the first book, he goes to yoga class with his mom. So he's a real dog, and he has a human mom, and it's not weird. And that's kind of how we describe it in the book. So Hugo can do anything. You know, he's like a real boy, but kind of in a dog's body. That sort of a feel.
Now, when is it going to come out, you know?
Yeah, a friend of mine is actually doing the illustrations right now. So we have the mock-ups, and the next step is to publish. So whether we self-publish or go with a publisher, hopefully within a year, we will have a product, and it will be on a shelf near you, and it will have the most adorable French bulldog boy on the cover.
Aw. No, that's great. And it's going to be called The Life and Times of Hugo?
We haven't settled on a title yet. I know Hugo will definitely be in the title, but we haven't pinned down the title yet.
Okay. Well, make sure you let us know, because we'd love to promote it and make sure that it gets out there.
Yes.
So,
that would be great. I'm really excited for kids to read it and, you know, to get their reactions and see how they enjoy it.
Yeah. Now, one of our fans writes in, if you were not acting, is there anything else that you'd like to do? And I was reading a little bit about how you are a self-proclaimed interior designer. Is that something that you would like to do if you were not acting?
Totally. I mean, I am definitely a bit of a nerd in that way. Like, I'll read design blogs all day. You know, that's kind of my escape. Design Sponge, Apartment Therapy, those are my faves. So, I've definitely made it I'm definitely a hobbyist interior designer. No way do I consider myself professional, but yeah, I enjoy it. I actually, my dad and I designed this table because my apartment in Brooklyn, you know, I'm really into, like, smart use of space.
Yeah,
And New York, or any major city, really, you're tight on space because it's apartment-style living, and sometimes most of the time, you don't have a dining room unless you're living in some, like, insane brownstone penthouse sort of deal. So as normal people, you know, we don't have dining rooms, so we need to find a place for the table, and rather than just placing the table wherever it fits, we figured, oh, let's try this, fold-up table. So basically, it's two barn doors, these two old barn doors that I found at a thrift store. It's a country kind of thrift vintage store out on Long Island. And we basically fix them to the wall, and they fold down on hinges, and it creates a table. So we can fold it up, and it looks like a piece of art on the wall because it's these two, you know, like distressed barn doors. And then when we fold it down, it's a table, and we put a pallet underneath it, actually, that creates, like, the leg for it to sit on. So, yeah, so that's kind of my hobby. You know, I'm into, like, okay, how can we make this work? How can we be inventive and creative and make this work in this small space?
You are a girl out of my own heart. I sit there and I watch, like, the HGTVs all day, and then, like,
oh,
like,
yeah.
I get an idea, and I'm always looking through magazines for, like, ideas and all that stuff, so.
I mean, that's just like a dream day for me. It's just like watching HGTV, flipping back to maybe some Food Network, back to HGTV, maybe a little Bravo, back to HGTV.
Some Sundance Channel. I don't even know, do they still have Sundance Channel? I think it's the Independent Film Channel now. I don't think
yes,
it's in it.
Yes. Oh, I'm yes. into that. I'm into that channel too.
Yes, I love that stuff.
well, we could totally hang out.
Yes, we'll do that. I will get in contact with your people.
Sounds good.
We'll get together. But I did want to ask you one more question, and then I know you're really tired, so I'll let you go. But
all good.
We mentioned that you were filming before. Do you guys film a season ahead of time, or do you just film, like, a couple of episodes ahead of
right.
time.
We're basically four episodes ahead in the same season. So we're at the end of season three right now. We're filming episode 23, which will air in May, I believe. And we have one more episode, 24, and we wrap the season April 26th.
Okay. You got any plans for the summer?
I do. I'm going to go back to the East Coast, and I'm actually going to shoot a short that I wrote, a short film with a friend of mine, and I'm really excited about that because it's going to be my first time directing and using my creative energy in a new way, so I'm really excited about that.
Very cool. Well, Renee, it has been... it's been great having you on, despite the technical difficulties.
Yes!
One more favor that if we could ask of you, we didn't get a chance to ask you before we went live, but normally what we like to do is we like to take a sound clip of all of the guests that are on our show, and when we do our anniversary shows and stuff like that, we'll put together a montage. So if you wouldn't mind, if you would be
sure.
so kind, you could just basically say your name and that you're from NCIS Los Angeles and that you're listening to the VRO. Would that be okay?
Yeah, B-L-O, right?
V as in Victor, R as in Robert, O as in Ophelia.
V-L-O. Awesome. I love the Ophelia reference.
R as in Robert, though. It's V as in Victor, R as in Robert, O as in Ophelia.
VRO. Oh, right. Variety Radio Online. Hello.
You could say Variety Radio Online. Either one. It's fine. So
okay.
whenever you're ready, you can just say that and we'll be silent.
Awesome. Sounds good. Here we go. Hey, this is Renee Felice Smith from NCIS Los Angeles, and you are listening to Variety Radio Online. Let me take that again.
Sure, go ahead.
I kind of had a brain freeze moment. Hey, this is Renee Felice Smith from NCIS Los Angeles, and you're listening to Variety Radio Online.
That was great. Thank you so much, Renee. And please keep us updated with the children's series and the short. We'd love to have you back on whenever you get a chance. And
great. Likewise, Jeff. Thanks again for having me, and have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
Okay,
thank you. Good night.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, I love her. She is awesome.
She was really fun. She was really fun.
She was.
She was so cute. But I love the fact that her phone ran out of charge, because that would be something that would happen to me. And
exactly. That's why I wasn't sweating it. I was like, oh, her phone died. Yeah, that would have happened to me and Jess.
I'm like, but, you know, anytime you and I get together, there's always got to be some sort of technical difficulty, especially if there's an interview, and especially if it's a big interview, like an NCIS Los Angeles, or, you know, hey, the showrunner of Moonlight, or, you know, whatever.
Oh, good Lord. The showrunner of Moonlight. We will never forget that one. But, hey, that interview, he became our best friend after that interview.
True. That is true.
I mean, yeah.
Number one, we have so much, well, I say we have so much in common, but we know the same area, we like the same things, and, like, I totally want to just hang out with her for, like, a girl day.
Like, oh, okay. That would be so awesome. Now, see, that would get me up there.
Yeah. Well, that's New York, that's not Boston. See, I'm in Boston.
I'm actually planning a trip to Boston.
You better, because you know who's coming? Virginia's coming to Boston, and she's coming to visit me in my studio, so you suck.
Well, Virginia can, you know, I'm better than Virginia, okay?
You know, well, I don't know that you're better than Virginia, but you're certainly just as good as Virginia, and I've known you longer, so your ass better get up here.
I will. Me and Dad, we're going to plan a Red Sox trip. We're going to go see.
Yeah, because, well, I haven't been to any of the games up here, and I would like to, even though I'm not a huge Red Sox. Oh, speaking of, I have a surprise for your dad.
Awesome.
I was stopped at one of the truck stops, actually, on the way back to Massachusetts, and they had one of those machines that, you know, you put the penny in, and it basically embosses the penny with a design on it.
Yeah.
I put the penny in, and there were three different options, and the first time I put it in, it didn't work, and I got the Massachusetts logo with a stupid ship on it. But the second time I put the penny in, it says Boston Red Sox, and it's got a picture of a baseball player, and it's on the penny. So I have to mail your father my 2 cents.
Awesome. He's going to love it. He's going to love it.
See me trying to figure this out. But anyway, we have so much stuff going on next week. I wanted to congratulate you on getting in contact with the executive producer of The Walking Dead and
the showrunner of The Walking Dead. Let me tell you this story real quick.
Good.
Last night I was sitting here talking to Amber. She's a host here on the VRO, and everybody, you know, they know who Amber is. So we were sitting here on the phone with her, and, you know, I'm normally at night, that's when I work on the VRO, and right now I'm on it 24/7 because we're getting our ready to do our month of May.
Yeah, I'm going to say, Amy, who are you kidding? You're always on.
Well, I've been trying to back off and have, like, a vacation and get away on the weekends instead of sitting here working like crazy. But it worked. It worked for, like, 2 weeks, and then I'm back to the grind. But anyways, so we're sitting here, we're talking, and I start panicking. Amber's like, what? And I was like, oh, my God, he just followed me. I was like, let me go check my email. Let me check his followers. And she was like, Amy, who? And I was like, Glenn. And she was like, who? And I said, from The Walking Dead, the showrunner. So I'm panicking. I'm like hyperventilating. And she's like, holy crap, he is. And so she says, okay, Amy, let's do this. And I was like, let's do what? She was like, follow my lead. So Amber posted, she Twittered him, and she said, if I looked like this, would you consider doing an interview with me? And it's a picture of her all decked up as like a green zombie, like she's got toilet paper and she's really like looking scary.
Yeah.
And he Twitters back saying yes. So I'm like, okay, let's set this up. So this morning, his PR company sent me a message and said that we heard that you guys were Twittering last night and there was a talk about doing an interview. So we got our interview. I'm like super, super excited because if you don't know, here at the McCracken household, we breathe, eat, live The Walking Dead. It's because it's my dad's favorite show, and everybody knows that I'm here taking care of my father and stuff like that. And one of our good friends is actually one of the zombies on The Walking Dead, Michael.
Oh yeah, Michael.
And he does a recap show when we do our vampire. I was reading on the side of our switchboard. Walking Dead recap show. We do it live from my kitchen. I sit there and I call in with Skype, and then I call in Carl from England. I call in Sandra from Canada. Michael calls in from Atlanta. Amber calls in from Atlanta. Chat room is packed. And we sit there and we discuss The Walking Dead for 3 hours.
One of these calls, because I've been meaning to call, but every time you guys do a show, I'm, like, in the middle of doing something, and I'm like, oh, god damn, I want to call in, and I just can't.
But it's awesome. We go into, like, I think the last one we did, we went around and we said who we think everybody else will be.
Yeah.
And, you know, I forget who they said I would be. Only one I remember is we're in there. It's, like, maybe 30 minutes after we discussed that, and my dad yells, whatever, you're Lori.
No, that would be the last character you would be.
I was
No, I think you would be Glenn's girlfriend. What's her name?
Maggie.
Yeah, she's a bit better than Maggie.
Amber, we said Amber would be Herschel, and then everybody's like, no, Robin would be Herschel. That's my daddy. And you know,
I don't know. Amber's got a temper. She could actually be Shane.
Yeah, I think that's what we said too. But he was like, I don't remember what he said. He was like, yeah, you'd be Lori. You'd be like, where's Carl? I was like, no, I wouldn't. I would lock my child up in his room.
Yes, I was reading some of those the memes on Facebook for The Walking Dead. I don't know if I sent it to you, but I sent it to Eric, and he was howling. At work, he was laughing so hard. But so we have that interview coming up, and then we have we were saying Megan Rath, and now we will have the Holy Trinity of Monsters from Being Human. But we're gonna have to start doing Lost Girl again. We're gonna have to bring that back up again. And I apologize. Yeah. Last couple of weeks we weren't able to do our recaps, but we will be more on point. And I'm hoping that a lot more of the Canadian fans will start to join us. As we get closer and closer to airing times between U.S. and Canada, because I know that Canada has a really good following with Lost Girl, and I know that the U.S. loves Lost Girl, so I really would like to get those two together.
And I think the way Sci-Fi is going to do it, seeing that they're going to be airing season two next week, you said?
Yeah.
I think they're going to, you know, air it and then start season three right when Canada starts it, which will be awesome.
Yes. Like I said, I think they might have somewhat of a delay like they do with Doctor Who and BBC America. They might be a week or two behind, but it wouldn't be a whole season behind.
Yeah.
So
I hope it's a day behind, because if it's a day behind, then we will have some kick-ass shows, because I'm sorry, but Jess and I cannot wait for it to air, so we get our friends to send it to us or turn on their webcam so we can watch it or something like that. So
I
do apologize.
I am dying to talk about the second season. I'm dying to talk about Dyson and the season finale of season one, and everything that happens in season two. I just cannot wait to talk about it. But what else have we got going on? And you have the month of May coming up too.
We have the Vampire Diaries month of May coming up, and we've already got a couple of the dates booked. It's going to be, hopefully, cross my fingers, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
This will be our third Vampire Diaries month of May, and
right.
I'm excited. We actually might change it next year. It might be Vampire Diaries month of April. Because it is a little easier, because there's tons of Vampire Diaries cons going on in May. So, they're going to be traveling. So let's cross our fingers and hope that it's going to be awesome like every other May has been for the past 3 years.
I don't see why it wouldn't be. I mean, the cast at this point knows us so well. They're like old hats when it comes to doing that. And we have some giveaways going on, right? And we have some...
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, on our website, if you go to www.thevro.com, you will see up there in the featured news, you'll see like a smiley face. And it's Whitening Lightning. And you have until April the 30th to pop in your email address and your address and stuff like that. And Whitening Lightning is going to pick two winners and send you this home whitening kit for your teeth. I've been using it for about going on 3 weeks now, and I love what it has done to my smile. Now, it's not Jordan Belfi white yet. I'm still working on it, because let me tell you, this man's got the smile to die for.
Smile actually sparkles. Like, he smiles, and it's like that. You know, that little movie time thing where his teeth sparkle.
Yes. And I have to say that Randy Wayne has one like that too, so I'm definitely working on that.
Okay.
And talking about Randy Wayne, guys, we still want to get his followers up. He has been he's become a really good friend of the VROs. He's an awesome actor. He's funny on Twitter. He's hilarious on Twitter. And he has this, the movie that finished filming, The Heart of the Country. If you go over to Facebook, we're trying to get it to 1,000 likes before the end of the week. So I think we're at like 539. So we could really, really, really use your help to get those likes up on the page. And if you're a Jericho fan, Johnson Green, Jericho Daddy, he is in this movie. If you're a One Tree Hill fan, Alex Dupre, everybody knows who Alex Dupre is on One Tree Hill. She's in this movie. And, of course, Randy Wayne is in this movie. And he played Justin on the Lion Games. He was in True Blood, Talent. I don't remember if he played Beau Duke or the other Duke. I don't remember their names from Duke of the Hazzard. But, yeah. Sorry, it's late.
It's okay. Let's let everybody know about our idea for the summertime show hosts and all that stuff too.
Yes, we're actually we're going to be adding some guest hosts and some new hosts to the mix. Basically, we're doing auditions this summer, and.
Yes.
We're going to, if you Twitter the VRO and follow the VRO, Twitter the VRO, let us know what summer shows that you watch. And each week we will pick a show to recap, or we'll pick you to come on and talk about the shows that you watch and stuff like that. And where I believe Gina is getting ready to start a indie music show for the summer.
Okay.
And I know that me and Jessica, who runs our Vampire Diaries show, will probably be doing some Big Brother, because everybody knows that is my guilty pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's the only reality TV show I watch besides like the Real World Real Rules Challenge thing.
We're gonna have True Blood back again, and we're gonna have American Horror Story back again. I'd love to get some of the HBO shows going, but I know a lot of people don't have money to watch HBO stuff.
I just canceled my HBO shows.
I have to keep it because of True Blood, so I have to keep HBO and Showtime. So between HBO with American Horror Story and True Blood and Game of Thrones and Borgias and and then HBO has Boardwalk Empire. I mean, there's a ton of shows on HBO that I would love to cover, but I realize that not everybody can watch them. So we're keeping it to the main ones, the True Blood.
Well,
ones.
I mean, we can throw them in the mix. If you watch them and somebody else watches them and they want to host with you, we can throw them all in the mix. There's some ABC family shows that I want to start doing because.
Yeah.
I know a lot of our listeners watch The Pretty Little Liars, The Lying Games, The Switched at Birth, The Secret Life of an American Teenager.
Coming back on again? Is that over? Or what's
Do
the
what?
Deal with I only saw the first episode, the first season of Switched at Birth. Is that still on?
Well, no, they're on their hiatus right now.
Okay, but it is coming back.
It will come back. I think it comes back, they'll do like a summer run.
Okay.
I think that's what they do. I don't remember. ABC Family, they have like a couple of shows that they run for like 3 or 4 months. Then they do their other shows for 3 or 4 months. And
Drop Dead Diva, have Drop Dead Diva going on too.
Yes.
And in the fall, there's 3 new pirate shows that you know Amber and I are going to be on.
Yes,
so.
Amber's already, she told me the other night, she was like, these are mine, find me a host. So I guess I found her one.
What do you mean, find your host? I'm the one that told her about it, and I asked her to do it with me, goddammit.
Well, then I'll tell her that. I'd be like, look, Jess said it was her idea. But, guys, I know that you listen to our show and stuff like that because I see the numbers and the numbers and I appreciate everybody's listening. But if you guys could like us on Facebook, it's at the VRO. That's it. Just the VRO. And if you go over to Twitter switched Twitter and Facebook.
Twitter is at the VRO and Facebook is the VRO. And
yes, Twitter's at the VRO and Facebook is the VRO. And
I have one more request, though. I know you guys listen, and you don't always listen live because we see the numbers, and the numbers are great. But we would really love it if you guys could come into the chat room and actually talk to us when we're on air.
I know.
Because it shows so much better when you call in, when you participate in the chat, when you give your input, because sometimes you guys call in or you have these outstanding assessments of characters and situations that come up in conversation, and they just add so much to our show. So
there's some of our shows where like if we do back-to-back shows, the way Blog Talk Radio has it set up now is the chat room will open on one link but won't open in the other link.
Right.
So we'll have to figure something out because I miss having everybody in the chat room. And then some people don't realize that they can scroll down and there's a chat room.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you're listening, scroll down and log into the chat. if you're listening, archives are on iTunes. Are from the website, thevro.com. There won't be no more chat. You have to listen to the live shows for chat.
Yeah.
But now I'm just rambling. I'm still excited. I'm in my work mode. This is how my day is now. I wake up. I work out. I sit here and I answer all the emails. And then I email the PR companies, the managers, stuff like that. I'm Twittering because I got TweetDeck, so I'm like Twittering like crazy. And then we have a new VRO Twitter she logs onto the VRO and I ask her to tweet stuff and stuff like that, and she retweets and all that good stuff. So I want to thank you for that. And then I work out around 4 or 5 again, and then I'm back to work.
You know, every time you say that, I keep thinking of LMFAO. No, I work out.
Well, I have. Okay, I'm going to tell you guys a little something, okay? I have this goal. This gold. I'm going to do this. There's this thing. It's called, it's not like a Tough Man contest. It's called like Tough Mud or something like that. And
yeah.
It's in Australia. And it's like this obstacle course that is like Army, Marine made. And you're like going under barbed wire, where it's really not barbed wire, but you're getting electrocuted. You're sliding down this mud slide. You're jumping in this ice water. And it is my goal to do that next year.
Oh, that sounds like a blast. You have fun with that.
I know. Like, I Twittered yesterday. I was like, hey, most of you are going to think I'm nuts.
Yeah.
But I'm so
doing
this.
I have a bunch of friends that do it. I just think they're all insane. But, yeah. No.
So, yeah, I'm doing that. That's my goal. I'm going to get into shape to do it. And then I'm going to run the Los Angeles Marathon with Nikki.
Nice.
And it's going to happen. It's a whole new me. I really wanted to do like a kind of a show type thing on it, but like me and Jess kind of talked about on our This and That show this week. I am trying to find the old Amy. So, yeah. But old Amy, but new Amy.
Say, I work out. I want that theme song to play. It's like, girl, look at that body.
And what is funny is because one of our listeners and a good friend of ours, Jamie Crislow, he posts on Twitter every time he goes to the gym. And seeing he's in London, I'm like, okay, It motivates me, so I'm like, okay, gym time, don't have an awesome quote like Jamie, because you know, he has all these quotes and stuff.
Right.
And then I get all these tweets, and it says, go Amy, you're doing great, and I'm like, oh, thanks guys. And it helps, so I love you all for, you know, getting me back to my old self, my old fun, quirky, well, I'm still fun and quirky, but, yeah, I'm living for me now. How
Yay.
Awesome is that?
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. But anyway,
yeah.
Listen, it's time for me to go bitty byes, because I have lots
yes.
of things tomorrow.
Well, our show is done. The timer is saying 2 minutes, so,
okay.
Yeah. We're going to go, everybody. We will be back next Monday. Joshua Reed Davis will be here to do
awesome.
An awesome interview, which I'm getting ready to post up on the website, so definitely check it out.
All right. Well, good job, Amy, and I will talk to you next week.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Do you love movies, music, books, television? You do? Then come on over to the VRO on Blog Talk Radio. We have shows for all your obsessions. Vampires, we've got them. The latest blockbuster movies, they're right here. Bands and books, music and fiction, it's all at the VRO. What are you waiting for? Log on to the VRO today. www.thevro.com.